I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College. Start here. Go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 studios, high atop the Gow building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in here tonight. We stream at YSR1560.com, and a lot going on in the world of soccer, a lot going on in Major League Soccer as well. We started off, though, with a big move from the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo have acquired from the Philadelphia Union Christian Maidana, the 28-year-old Argentine, has played 54 times for Philadelphia, starting 48 times in two seasons, 26 assists. So here is the number 10 the Houston Dynamo have been looking for. Christian Maidana will join the Dynamo. He joins the Dynamo along with Andrew Wenger, a player that has an upside, has played in 54 games for Philadelphia, 41 starts, 7 goals, but a player that does have some real positive qualities that the Dynamo will get. So the Dynamo give up to the Philadelphia Union their first-round draft pick, which was going to be the number 6 pick in the 2016 MLS Super Draft. And also, the Philadelphia Union will get allocation money as well. So it's Christian Maidana, Andrew Wenger to the Houston Dynamo. Additional terms per the league and club, nobody really knows about. But this is pretty interesting here because piece by piece, the Dynamo trying to put this team together now. Now, we've seen Will Bruin get rewarded with a big contract, which the Houston Chronicle reported at $300,000 a year. That is a big statement for a man that's regularly scoring 11 or 12 goals a season. Now, I think the Dynamo certainly are rewarding a player that had, I believe, his best season last year. From a leadership standpoint, from a maturity standpoint, his level has been lifted now. The whole key, though, to Will Bruin coming into this next season is the wide game. If the Dynamo can get their wide game going, get some pace in that wide game, get some more sophistication in that wide game, get some more penetration, I believe Will Bruin can have a 15-plus goal-scoring season. But that's going to be the piece that the Dynamo are going to need to come up with. That is that pace out wide. Now they have what we perceive here as that number 10 position that the Dynamo have been looking for. And they get it rather inexpensively. This is pretty interesting and exciting how the Dynamo are trying to put this together. And remember, there's a salary cap in this league. So there's a lot of things that we don't know about and challenges for Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan. And, of course, the manager, Owen Coyle. So pretty exciting. Christian Maidana, obviously Argentine, 28 years of age, played at Banfield down there. Number of other Argentine clubs, Spartak Moscow. That's who Philadelphia got him from, Spartak Moscow in Russia. What I like about him is his range of passing. And this is the type of player the Dynamo need higher up the field in support of a striker. That can hold the ball, that can make a bad ball in a higher end of the field into a good one. You know, that can allow people to come up the field and join in with him. So this is pretty exciting. I think this is an exciting, good move from the Houston Dynamo. Christian Maidana and Andrew Wenger could be the sleeper in this trade as well. So It's good news for the Houston Dynamo. Again, we stream at YSR1560.com. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you can get your season tickets. You can see Christian Maidana, the new Argentine. HoustonDynamo.com, season tickets for the Dynamo and the Houston Dash. It's a great place for you to see the game of soccer, BBVA Compass Stadium. So again, Bud Light, we thank you for all your support of soccer on the radio. Also a reminder, this coming weekend, it's Kick Cancer, Eclipse Soccer Club, Albion Hurricane Soccer Club, and of course, Cyfair Dynamos. They will be hosting sites this weekend. Like I said before, look at your children and remind yourself that they're healthy. Others have real struggles. This set of clinics is done by the Houston soccer community. It is done to create awareness for pediatric cancer and the Texas Children's Hospital. So if you can find it in your heart to donate or have your son or daughter come out to the camp, if you donate $55, we will get someone in need from the inner city to come out and be a part of the camp. These are great clinics. There's Dynamo players involved. There's Dash players involved. These great soccer clubs in Houston are promoting and providing the staff and the sites for this as well. So if you feel it in your heart, do it. You can sign up or donate at cccfund.org, cccfund.org. That's Curing Children's Cancer Fund, and that's where you sign up for these clinics. So let's see. Eclipse will have our good friend Stephanie Oakes will be out there. Paul Rogers, the Dynamo goalkeeper, will be out at Eclipse, so you'll get to mix with them and talk with them and see what it's like to be a professional soccer player and a coach at that level. Albion Hurricanes will have MLS Cup winner, my partner on Root Sports, Eddie Robinson, donating his time. He'll be over there with the Albion Hurricanes, along with former University of North Carolina and Dash striker Kalia Ojai, who had a great second year. So Kalia Ojai will be out with the Houston Dash, along with Eddie Robinson at the Albion Hurricanes. And then the Cyfair Dynamos will have Ricardo Clark and Tyler Derrick up there at their camp. So, again, you don't have to be a part of those clubs to attend these events. These are open events. These are not segregated because, you know, you either have to be a Dynamo player. No. Anybody can go to these. And it's going to be a nice, loose environment, a lot of small-sided games, tips from the pros, and you're also going to do a lot of work going to goal and really mixing and getting an opportunity to get up close and personal with pros and ex-pros. There'll be college coaches in and around. I believe Texas A&M's G. Guerreri. There's going to be a lot of soccer personalities out there. Also, Freddie Reyes, my good friend who's beaten cancer 3 times, young man that is an inspiration to all of us. He will be out there. Eileen Dowd, she also beat cancer. Eileen will be out there as well. They're going to tell their story and hopefully be very impactful to the young campers that are there. So, again, please sign up, cccfund.org. It's only $55. You get a T-shirt. It's Kick Cancer. It's a community event. It's not any one person's event. It's community. And by the way, I was just down at the NCAA Women's College Cup, and Dr. Pat Thompson, who was a big mover and shaker in getting these clinics going, I saw him. He's now at the University of North Carolina Children's Hospital, but he was hoping there's going to be a great turnout this week, and it was great to catch up with him as well. And also former Dynamo president and GM Oliver Luck. So interesting weekend in North Carolina. But again, Kick Cancer, cccfund.org to sign up. Now, the MLS Cup final, that was a strange one, huh? Steve Clark, seconds in, I think 37 or 27 seconds in, gets a back pass from Will Trapp. Now, I think anybody going into an MLS Cup final, this is why you never know what happens with somebody on the day of a final game like this. Gets a back pass, takes it off his favored right foot across his body to play it with his left foot, which is not comfortable. And, of course, the opening kickoff of a championship game like that, everybody's adrenalized, everybody's fired up, everybody's chasing and closing down balls they might not be in 20 or 25 minutes. He gets caught by Valeri, and in it goes. And it sets the tempo, the tone of the whole day, and it becomes a chase for the Columbus Crew at home, who most predicted to win this MLS Cup final. So the Portland Timbers, congratulations to them. And again, to show you that MLS is built on possibility with the playoff system. 6 weeks to go, they didn't know if they were even going to make the playoffs. Darlington Nagbe gets moved into a higher position. Don't know why it took so long for that to happen over the years, but you know what? It happens when it happens. And Caleb Porter puts him in and makes a masterstroke, puts him into a higher position, and then all of a sudden Fernando Adi is playing better as well. So it's affecting a couple areas of the team. The shape of the team is different. You've got Nagby in a good area. And things change quickly. It's amazing how that can happen when a coach makes a subtle change and it works. They all don't work. This one did. And Portland, who was wondering if they were going to make the playoffs, well, they went on this crazy run and they win the MLS Cup. And they don't do it without good fortune, because remember the penalty shootout against Kansas City, which was just remarkable. So Portland wins it. Not only the best TIFOs in the league, now they have that centerpiece and that cup, the MLS Cup. And they've done it, and good market. They have been great for the game of soccer here in the United States. They've lifted the bar, as has Seattle, and good for the Portland Timbers and Caleb Porter. So they are the champions. Columbus tried to battle back into it, got a goal from Kai Kamara, but on the day, the Columbus attack seemed very dull. Not a lot from Ethan Finley. Justin Mirren was going to ground a lot. The start, I don't know how much that affected things, but it really was was kind of an uphill battle on the day. Now, the atmosphere was amazing. Great coverage, I think, on the game, on TV. It looked beautiful. The controversy on goal number two was just remarkable, that a linesman and a referee missed that. It was the most bizarre moment of the day, I think, outside of the two goalkeeping mistakes. One from Quarsai and, of course, one from Steve Clark of Columbus to set the tone. But bizarre. And you never stop playing, but just was a strange, strange day. And all three goals in some ways in shape and form were either self-inflicted or came out of the theater of the bizarre. All right, we got a lot to talk about here, but the big news is the Dynamo signing Christian Maidana and Andrew Wenger. They come over in a trade with the Philadelphia Union, a first-round draft pick, the number six pick, and some allocation money. Interesting times here in the offseason for you that are really digging into it deep and looking at the moving pieces and how GM Matt Jordan and Owen Coyle are going about things. Very, very interesting right now. Still wondering what's going to happen with Brad Davis and sort of where that is going to go and what his part in this team is going to be after being a legendary Dynamo player. But things are happening and will continue to happen. We'll take a break. A lot more to come here on the show tonight. Eddie Robinson will be on the show. We're also going to catch up with Erica Walsh, the Penn State women's coach who won the national championship this weekend. A great win for Penn State. I think it was a great win for Penn State based on all the Joe Paterno stuff. But it was a program that really was destined to ultimately win this. And it was a very good showcase and a great advertisement for the women's college game. Duke and Penn State in the final. Penn State winning at 1-0 on a goal from Raquel Rodriguez, a Costa Rican international who had scored in the Women's World Cup for Costa Rica against Spain. A lot more to come on the show here tonight. More interviews, more of the best in soccer talk. It's Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, HoustonDynamo.com.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College. Start here. Go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 studios, high atop the Gal building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in here tonight. We stream at YSR1560.com, and a lot going on in the world of soccer, a lot going on in Major League Soccer as well. We started off, though, with a big move from the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo have acquired from the Philadelphia Union Christian Maidana, the 28-year-old Argentine, has played 54 times for Philadelphia, starting 48 times in two seasons, 26 assists. So here is the number 10 the Houston Dynamo have been looking for. Christian Maidana will join the Dynamo. He joins the Dynamo along with Andrew Wenger, a player that has an upside, has played in 54 games for Philadelphia, 41 starts, 7 goals, but a player that does have some real positive qualities that the Dynamo will get. So the Dynamo give up to the Philadelphia Union their first-round draft pick, which was going to be the number 6 pick in the 2016 MLS Super Draft, and also the Philadelphia Union will get allocation money as well. So it's Christian Maidana, Andrew Wenger to the Houston Dynamo. Additional terms per the league and club nobody really knows about. But this is pretty interesting here because piece by piece, the Dynamo trying to put this team together now. Now, we've seen Will Bruin get rewarded with a big contract, which the Houston Chronicle reported at $300,000 a year. That is a big statement for a man that's regularly scoring 11 or 12 goals a season. Now, I think the Dynamo certainly are rewarding a player that had, I believe, his best season last year from a leadership standpoint, from a maturity standpoint. His level has been lifted now. The whole key, though, to Will Bruin coming into this next season is the wide game. If the Dynamo can get their wide game going, get some pace in that wide game, get some more sophistication in that wide game, get some more penetration, I believe Will Bruin can have a 15-plus goal-scoring season. But that's going to be the piece that the Dynamo are going to need to come up with. That is that pace out wide. Now they have what we perceive here as that number 10 position that the Dynamo have been looking for. And they get it rather inexpensively. This is pretty interesting and exciting how the Dynamo are trying to put this together. And remember, there's a salary cap in this league, so there's a lot of things that we don't know about and challenges for Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan and, of course, the manager Owen Coyle. So pretty exciting. Christian Maidana, obviously Argentine, 28 years of age, played at Banfield down there. Number of other Argentine clubs, Spartak Moscow. That's who Philadelphia got him from, Spartak Moscow, in Russia. What I like about him is his range of passing. And this is the type of player the Dynamo need higher up the field in support of a striker that can hold the ball, that can make a bad ball in a higher end of the field into a good one. You know, that can allow people to come up the field and join in with him. This is pretty exciting. I think this is an exciting, good move from the Houston Dynamo. Christian Maidana and Andrew Wenger could be the sleeper in this trade as well. So it's good news for the Houston Dynamo. Again, we stream at YSR1560.com. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you can get your season tickets. You can see Christian Maidana, the new Argentine. HoustonDynamo.com, season tickets for the Dynamo and the Houston Dash. It's a great place for you to see the game of soccer, BBVA Compass Stadium. So again, Bud Light, we thank you for all your support of soccer on the radio. Also a reminder, this coming weekend, it's Kick Cancer, Eclipse Soccer Club, Albion Hurricane Soccer Club, and of course, Cyfair Dynamos. They will be hosting sites this weekend. Like I said before, look at your children and remind yourself that they're healthy. Others have real struggles. This set of clinics is done by the Houston soccer community. It is done to create awareness for pediatric cancer and the Texas Children's Hospital. So if you can find it in your heart to donate or have your son or daughter come out to the camp, if you donate $55, we will get someone in need from the inner city to come out and be a part of the camp. These are great clinics. There's Dynamo players involved. There's Dash players involved. These great soccer clubs in Houston are promoting and providing the staff and the sites for this as well. So if you feel it in your heart, do it. You can sign up or donate at cccfund.org, cccfund.org. That's Curing Children's Cancer Fund, and that's where you sign up for these clinics. So let's see. Eclipse will have our good friend Stephanie Oakes will be out there. Paul Rogers, the Dynamo goalkeeper, will be out at Eclipse, so you'll get to mix with them and talk with them and see what it's like to be a professional soccer player and a coach at that level. Albion Hurricanes will have MLS Cup winner, my partner on Root Sports, Eddie Robinson, donating his time. He'll be over there with the Albion Hurricanes, along with former University of North Carolina and Dash striker Kalia Ojai, who had a great second year. So Kalia Ojai will be out with the Houston Dash, along with Eddie Robinson at the Albion Hurricanes. And then the Cyfair Dynamos will have Ricardo Clark and Tyler Derrick up there at their camp. So, again, you don't have to be a part of those clubs to attend these events. These are open events. These are not segregated because, you know, you either have to be a Dynamo player. No, anybody can go to these. And it's going to be a nice, loose environment, a lot of small-sided games, tips from the pros, And you're also going to do a lot of work going to goal and really mixing and getting an opportunity to get up close and personal with pros and ex-pros. There'll be college coaches in and around. I believe Texas A&M's G. Guerrero. There's going to be a lot of soccer personalities out there. Also, Freddie Reyes, my good friend who's beaten cancer 3 times, young man that is an inspiration to all of us. He will be out there. Eileen Dowd, she also beat cancer. Eileen will be out there as well. They're going to tell their story and hopefully be very impactful to the young campers that are there. So again, please sign up, cccfund.org. It's only $55. You get a T-shirt. It's Kick Cancer. It's a community event. It's not any one person's event. It's community. And by the way, I was just down at the NCAA Women's College Cup, and Dr. Pat Thompson, who was a big mover and shaker in getting these clinics going, I saw him. He's now at the University of North Carolina Children's Hospital. But he was hoping there's going to be a great turnout this weekend. It was great to catch up with him as well. And also former Dynamo president and GM Oliver Luck. So interesting weekend in North Carolina. But again, Kick Cancer, cccfund.org to sign up. Now, the MLS Cup final, that was a strange one, huh? Steve Clark, seconds in, I think 37 or 27 seconds in, gets a back pass from Will Trapp. Now, I think anybody going into an MLS Cup final, this is why you never know what happens with somebody on the day of a final game like this. Gets a back pass, takes it off his favored right foot, across his body to play it with his left foot, which is not comfortable. And, of course, the opening kickoff of a championship game like that, everybody's adrenalized, everybody's fired up, everybody's chasing and closing down balls they might not be in 20 or 25 minutes. He gets caught by Valeri, and in it goes. And it sets the tempo, the tone of the whole day. And it becomes a chase for the Columbus Crew at home, who most predicted to win this MLS Cup final. So the Portland Timbers, congratulations to them. And again, to show you that MLS is built on possibility with the playoff system. 6 weeks to go, they didn't know if they were even going to make the playoffs. Darlington Nagbe gets moved into a higher position. Don't know why it took so long for that to happen over the years, but you know what? It happens when it happens. And Caleb Porter puts him in and makes a masterstroke, puts him into a higher position, and then all of a sudden, Fernando Adi is playing better as well. So it's affecting a couple areas of the team. The shape of the team is different. You've got Nagbe in a good area. And things change quickly. It's amazing how that can happen when a coach makes a subtle change, and it works. They all don't work. This one did. And Portland, who was wondering if they were going to make the playoffs, well, they went on this crazy run, and they win the MLS Cup. And they don't do it without good fortune, because remember the penalty shootout against Kansas City, which was just remarkable. So Portland wins it. Not only the best TIFOs in the league, now they have that centerpiece and that cup, the MLS Cup. And they've done it, and good market. They have been great for the game of soccer here in the United States. They've lifted the bar, as has Seattle, and good for the Portland Timbers and Caleb Porter. So they are the champions. Columbus tried to battle back into it, got a goal from Kai Kamara, but on the day, the Columbus attack seemed very dull. Not a lot from Ethan Finley. Justin Mirren was going to ground a lot. It just, the start, I don't know how much that affected things, but it really was was kind of an uphill battle on the day. Now, the atmosphere was amazing. Great coverage, I think, on the game, on TV. Looked beautiful. The controversy on goal number two was just remarkable, that a linesman and a referee missed that. It was the most bizarre moment of the day, I think, outside of the two goalkeeping mistakes, one from Quarsai and, of course, one from Steve Clark of Columbus to set the tone, but bizarre. And you never stop playing, but just was a strange, strange day. And all three goals in some ways in shape and form were either self-inflicted or came out of the theater of the bizarre. All right, we got a lot to talk about here, but the big news is the Dynamo signing Christian Maidana and Andrew Wenger. They come over in a trade with the Philadelphia Union, a first-round draft pick, the number 6 pick, and some allocation money. Interesting times here in the offseason for you that are really digging into it deep and looking at the moving pieces and how GM Matt Jordan and Owen Coyle are going about things. Very, very interesting right now. Still wondering what's going to happen with Brad Davis and sort of where that is going to go and what his part in this team is going to be. after being a legendary Dynamo player. But things are happening and will continue to happen. We'll take a break. A lot more to come here on the show tonight. Eddie Robinson will be on the show. We're also going to catch up with Erica Walsh, the Penn State women's coach who won the national championship this weekend. A great win for Penn State. I think it was a great win for Penn State based on all the Joe Paterno stuff. But it was a program that really was destined to ultimately win this. And it was a very good showcase and a great advertisement for the women's college game. Duke and Penn State in the final. Penn State winning at 1-0 on a goal from Raquel Rodriguez, a Costa Rican international who had scored in the Women's World Cup for Costa Rica against Spain. A lot more to come on the show here tonight. More interviews, more of the best in soccer talk. It's Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, HoustonDynamo.com.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access. Don't forget the NCAA Men's College Cup this weekend. We got the four finalists, Stanford, Clemson, Syracuse in it, and also Akron. So Friday night, doubleheader on ESPNU. You can catch it. Also, the final will be on Sunday, so there'll be a number of Major League Soccer scouts at that. All right, as we welcome you back to the show, we welcome in Shannon Williams of the Houston Dynamo. Shannon, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so you've been here a short amount of time, a successful start here in Houston. Here we are in the off season. It's always a difficult time because generally players come and go a little bit in some cases. Just tell us what it's like to be a player in a situation here in the off season where players are coming and going. And obviously, you know, the Dynamo, much like your old team, the Philadelphia Union, in a bit of a remake now.
Yeah, it's always a pretty wild time. I think I saw something yesterday that, you know, players that just won MLS Cup are now being released from their teams less than 24 hours later. So definitely a weird and crazy time for a lot of guys. A lot of people on the move, a lot of different things going around the league.
Now, you saw yesterday the big trade, some of your former teammates coming this way, Christian Maidana and also Andrew Wenger. Let's start with Maidana and talk to us a little bit about, you know, the qualities that he brings, what it was like playing with him, and how the Union were maybe built around him.
Yeah, talking about a guy that had 15 assists last season, not an easy thing to do, especially in this league. And his vision and his playmaking ability is definitely one that's in the top end of the league since I've been playing with him. A player that I think finds different passes, finds different things that maybe other people don't see, and definitely led him to a good season last year. So I'm excited to have him on the team and excited to see what he can do for us moving forward.
Now, this is obviously a player that you certainly do have to build your team around. In some ways, a player that I don't want to use the word luxury player because I don't think I like luxury player, but a guy that's going to have a free role, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he likes to do. But, I mean, when you have 15 assists, I guess the free role is given to you pretty easily. A guy that can find pockets of space to start up our attack. So definitely somebody that's looking and actively looking for pockets of space even while we're defending. So definitely has his own mindset when he's playing the game.
Yeah, continue on with the thought about him there as well. I mean, give us some more of the nuances of his game that I think fans should look for. I mean, obviously we know he's got a great range of passing skills. He can hit a ball over distance, right, as well as provide the chip and the delicate pass as well. What else does he bring in your eyes?
Yeah, I think he adds a lot to the way that we're going to try to play, which is, you know, try to keep the ball, try to retain possession, and I think that he definitely can help us out in that aspect of our game as well. Somebody that is very comfortable on the ball, doesn't panic with other players around him, and I think can link up well with the players that are already in place here.
Now, he's not the type of guy that's going to run at and beat two or three guys. He's more of a guy that gets the ball in a good position, creates some space for himself, a yard or two, and then gets his head up and can damage you with the pass. Would that be a fair assessment to a degree?
Yeah, definitely is going to beat you more with his head than he is with his physical ability. Not going to be the fastest guy in the world, but that's never seemed to stop him from being effective and putting himself in good situations to either score goals or put someone else in to score a goal.
Now, you, since you've come in the league, you know, you've been on teams that have been trying to kind of find their way and their identity in Philadelphia. You looked at times like in Philly, you took two steps forward, then you made one back. You had a number of coaching changes. Are you looking forward to getting into something that has some real stability here and the Dynamo sort of re-identifying the way they're going to try to play the game now under Owen Coyle?
Yeah, definitely. So far for me, I've been through a lot of head coaching changes, a lot of stylistic changes, and I think that the coaching staff here is ready and wanting to go with a certain playing style that they've, you know, communicated to the team. And I think that moving forward, I think that stability will help us become a team that's ready to contend for playoff runs.
Yeah, so next year with all these changes, you know, obviously with that is going to come some additional pressure from the fans. I guess you would expect that, right, Shannon?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody knows that, you know, not making playoffs is not a good thing for the team. So we're looking to get back into the playoffs and hopefully move on from there.
Off-season regiment for you, what does that mean, and what do you do in the off-season? How much time do you take to just let the batteries recharge, and then when do you get back at it, and when do you hit it hard? Because, you know, it's hard to believe that you guys go back into training at the end of January.
Yeah, I guess it's closing down fast. Soon it'll be Christmas time, and then right around the corner is preseason. For me, I took maybe a week and then started to get into the gym. I try to get into the gym every day, maybe one day off a week, and try to stay active. It's definitely tough because you go from playing every day to now trying to find something to substitute that. So it's definitely a process that you have to kind of fine tune for yourself and hopefully get right so that you can be in better shape for the upcoming season.
So in the off season, are you working on something specifically? If there was an area athletically you wanted to work on, or is it more about just maintaining a good base of fitness so that when preseason comes, you know, you're not playing a lot of catch up and you're not coming in unfit, so that you know, maybe you pull a muscle and you're way behind everything.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You want to work on definitely some things that you think you can improve on, both on the soccer side of things and on the physical side of things, and then making sure that you're putting yourself in a position to be ready for preseason and, you know, hit the ground running from the start of it and not take a whole preseason to really get back to where you need to be. So that's really been my whole focus for this off season.
Shannon, before we let you go, how about a word on Andrew Wenger and what he can potentially bring to the Dynamo?
Yeah, somebody that's, you know, extremely versatile and somebody that was a number one pick. Somebody that I think is going to be highly motivated to have a good season, and someone that I think our team could use. I think that he has the skill set to be a great player in MLS, and I think that our coaching staff will hopefully be able to bring out the best in what he has to offer to our team.
Well, Shannon, listen, thank you very much for coming on the program. Great to get some of your insight into two new Dynamo players, Christian Maidana and also Andrew Wenger, you having played with them in Philadelphia. So thanks again, as always, for coming on the program and being so candid, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, the one and only Shannon Williams. Dynamo right back joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. We'll take a break right now, 7-Up break.
Word up. Cash rules everything around me. Cream it.
Yeah. You're listening to Dynamo All Access. presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. As everybody knows, this past weekend, the NCAA Women's College Cup taking place in Cary, North Carolina, and a new national champion, Penn State, winning the national title over Duke. A very entertaining game, a game that I think a great entertainment value, but also a great testimony to the women's college game. And joining us now, national champions, Penn State, their head coach, Erica Walsh. Erica, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, this was a dream season for you guys. And like all seasons, it had moments where things platformed, things changed. Talk to me a little bit about when you sort of changed your system and how the subtle change really turned the season around very differently.
Yeah, we went through the first half of the season feeling pretty strongly that we wanted to have two players up top, wanted to play in a two-front. When we went to the national championship in 2012, we had played in a 3-5-2, but we had a veteran center back that year that allowed us to play in a three-back. This year, we felt with the strength of Weber and Schaefer and Kraus that we wanted to get two of them up top. Went through a lot of matches with success, but felt as though we were giving up too much defensively. Goals were being scored against teams that shouldn't be scoring goals against this team. And so probably about three-quarters of the way through the season, we decided to shore things up a bit and bring Franny Kraus back into the midfield and leave Schaefer as our lone high player. Obviously it led to success, and we had been successful up to that point, but I think that's when our defense really started to come together as a team, and obviously the run through the NCAA tournament without giving up a goal is just a testament to kind of the commitment that the team made defensively at that point.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. Franny Kraus, now, did you have to sort of redefine her role? And obviously as a player, she had to be accepting, right?
Yeah, Franny Kraus is what I would consider to be a big-time goal scorer, and she has been her whole life. I mean, she leads the state of Pennsylvania in goals scored or did at one point. So it's all she's really ever known and how she's defined herself. But since she's come into college, she's really embraced some of these other ideas, the defending principles and, all the team aspects that sometimes you don't necessarily get with your big-time goal scorer. So when we asked her to move back, she just looked at us and said, whatever you need for the team. And fortunately, it came with some goals on her end pretty much right out of the gates. Right after it happened, she scored some pretty big goals for us. So I think that allowed her to ease her mind a bit that even though she was moving back in the midfield, that her role wasn't changing as a goal scorer for us. We were just asking more out of her defensively.
Well, I had the good fortune of calling your national championship game along with Julie Foudy, and I noticed that you had her in a variety of roles. She played wide on the left, wide on the right, and for a portion of the game, you even had her playing as the deepest lying striker.
Yeah, I mean, Franny's grown a ton during college, and when you've got the speed that Franny has, you can use her in a variety of different ways. But testament, I mean, credit to her. She's grown so much defensively, and she's got a better sense of the tempo and when to bring the ball back and swing the ball around. And, I don't necessarily feel like she came into college with some of those skills because she's just always been so much faster and been able to get behind back line with ease. But her game's really grown and developed, and she's really worked on it.
She's Erica Walsh. She's the head coach of the national championship Penn State women's soccer team. And by the way, you heard her right when she said that they did not concede a goal in the entire NCAA tournament. Pretty remarkable way. But also what I loved about your team and really teams in this tournament in general was the fact that you really put such a value and an emphasis on the ball. And I look 1 through 11 and all your players can control the ball. They can all pass the ball. They're all comfortable with the ball at their feet.
I mean, it's something that certainly, when we look at checking some different boxes in the recruiting process, that is one of the most important things to us is I think we have the ability now with the success of the program to not get just athletes, that we can get soccer players, that we can get athletes that also can play the game, that can think the game. Obviously, those that possess all those abilities typically become your All-Americans, so you have to you end up balancing those pieces. But to have an Emily Ogle that's got the brains and understands tempo, and then you've got the real speedsters that can just flat out run by people athletically, it's important to have that balance.
Erica Walsh joining us here, Penn State, where the national champions 1-0 over Duke, a great entertainment and great testament to the women's college game. It was in Cary, North Carolina this past Sunday. All right, so for your program, what does it mean to get over the top here and win this national championship? You were there before. You're perennially in the top 20. It's a great program. But to finally get that last centerpiece must have meant something really special, not only to you, but your team and the program.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the most important thing, it means the world to the program. I think this is Penn State's a place where the alums in general stay really connected to the university. But with this women's soccer program, when I took over 9 years ago, people were coming out of the woodwork to talk about what the program meant to them and the legacy that when it was built in 94. Our senior women's administrator that started the program, Sue Sheets, showed up at Rec Hall last night. She's since retired, but she showed up with a bag full of pins that she had made in 1989 when they first started thinking about starting a women's soccer program at Penn State. And she had bought these pins with the idea that she would give it to the first national championship team. And here we are, you know, so many years later, collecting on her good work. So, you know, I think it's just a testament to those women that had that vision, you know, and our former administrators that had the vision to start this program so many years ago and knew that it could be a national contender.
Well, you guys had, obviously Duke was just down the road and had about 1,500 students there, but you obviously had some great support behind your bench from a lot of Penn State alums and parents. And, I mean, there was a good crowd of Penn State fans there in that sellout crowd of 11,000.
I mean, you know, it started with our student section, the Park Avenue Army. You know, you talk to Rocky and you talk about her experience at Penn State, and the big thing she talks about is walking into Jeffrey Field and hearing the community and hearing the support. And, you know, we've topped attendance for years, and, you know, it's just been marketing, but it's also the commitment of these players to get out into the community and do that type of work. This area, this Happy Valley area, is a really special community, as everybody knows, and they love their sports. They love their Nittany Lions and all 31 programs, and to see the Greater Raleigh Area Alumni Association come out and support us and all the fans, obviously a little bit nerve-wracking being in the heart of Duke country, but they helped a lot in that area.
You, in talking to you before the game, I just got this sense of not only real confidence, but you were relaxed. You seemed to be very much enjoying the moment, and I'm sure that translated to your players. Is that something that's very important from a coach at that stage, that, you know, you still have to enjoy the moment that you're here? Yes, we have to get refocused after the win over Rutgers on Friday night for the national championship game, but was that something that was very important to you, is to make sure everybody was relaxed and not overly relaxed heading into the final?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think the team very much takes on the feeling of the coaching staff. These guys have done a really good job being excellent leaders and followers. But yeah, we need to smile. We need to show confidence. And that's hard to do if you don't have actual confidence. But that wasn't the case on Sunday. I did have confidence in this team. Perhaps that was from our 2012 championship run. I can't say that I necessarily felt the same way going into that final weekend as I did in this one. But this team just felt like they were so well prepared mentally and physically. Our strength coach did an unbelievable job with their overall conditioning. And, you know, they just exuded confidence. And, we gave it to each other, I would say. They looked at me and, you know, we've got this coach. And I looked at them and said, you guys are ready. And really felt that way. I think it's hard to fake those types of behaviors.
Along the way in your coaching career, because it's always interesting for me to look at the background of coaches, because, you know, there's a lot of stops on the way. You know, you don't just get dropped into a program like Penn State. You have to earn your way there. You've worked at your body of work when it comes to being a coach. Obviously, you were a player as well. You've been an assistant with the U.S. national team at Olympics and World Cups. So you've got this amazing resume. Along the way, what was one of the big platforming moments, maybe, or two, you personally as a coach, that, you know, just maybe made you look at things differently in your move to getting all the way to Penn State eventually?
Well, I would say, you know, so much of the foundation was built on our, for Ann and I, and our experience at William & Mary. John Daly runs an incredible program down there. And probably the thing that defines that program the most is just the idea of family. So we decided we were going to come to Penn State and we were going to try to create a similar environment with bringing in the best student athletes in the country, and decided that was the only way to do it. And we were determined to win a national championship doing it that way, and making some tough choices in recruiting along the way based on our philosophy of making sure that everybody fits the they're an important piece of the puzzle, both on and off the field. And we stayed true to that. And that was hard at times. You know, we had to make some tough choices on players, but probably just trying to create the same family environment that John Daly created at William & Mary was really important to us. Kind of a cool note that he's got now. Gil Ellis has won the World Cup as a William & Mary grad, and now Ann and I as a national champion. So kind of a cool legacy for William & Mary soccer this year. But, you know, I would say the other piece was those years I spent at Florida State with Mark Kerkorian. He's been a wonderful mentor for me. Obviously, has created quite a dynasty down there at Florida State, and I have a tremendous respect for him and his program. But really learning the ropes of soccer at the highest level, scholarship level up to that point. I'd been in the Ivy League and the Patriot League and hadn't had much experience in that area, so just learned a ton from that experience.
Last one, Erica. You had a World Cup player, a Costa Rican, Raquel Rodriguez, scored in the World Cup against Spain, had an outstanding game for you on Sunday, and really produced what was a very special goal, a very fitting goal, in my opinion, to win a national championship. Talk a little bit about how you identified her, how you brought her to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw Raquel play, it was down at our interregional event, that the USYS ODP event, and they used to bring national teams in. She was a young player in that roster for Costa Rica. I was watching our U-17 interregional team play against the 16 national team, and turned out she was, I don't know, 13 or 14 years old, which I couldn't believe at the time, but she was so physically developed and so technically and tactically gifted. So we just stuck her up on a board, and over the years kind of tracked her and had opportunities through Youth World Cups to go down and see her at different events. So, you know, with the growth of the sport with women's soccer in CONCACAF and around the world, you just have so many more opportunities to find players like a Rodriguez that not only changes your program, but changes your life as a coach as well.
Well, Erica, listen, you're a real fine person to do this with us, fresh off winning a national championship. I know you're getting phone calls left and right, and congratulations from all over. But from me to you, congratulations. Congratulations to Penn State, all your hard work, and thank you very much for joining us on the program tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right. She's Erica Walsh, right. Penn State. The women's national champions defeated Duke 1-0 this past Sunday. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more.